This is the Fantasy Road Show.
All right, roadies, we are here talking everything Washington Commanders with one of the hosts of Ref the District, Nathan, at Ref the District. You can find him all on the social channels. Wanted to bring him in to talk everything about Commanders. When leading up to the draft, especially, was when I was all into draft research and content. And so I found Ref the District on YouTube. They were doing regular shows, debating, Bo Nix versus Michael Penix and all these draft player profile debates, which kind of, no matter what the team leading up the draft, I just really dive into content wise. And these guys were just really hammering out the content pre-draft. And I really kind of got invested into them and looking at their content. Despite my own, as you can see, Cowboys fandom, I thought they did a great job. So we wanted to bring them in, talk about offseason stuff and some fantasy aspects. So Nathan, thank you for joining us and welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. And I mean, that's some big praise from a guy who has the one star behind him. And I mean, maybe if we've won you over this far, Shane, maybe we can win you over a little bit more. Just keep watching our content out there at Ref the District, and you'll become a Commanders fan soon enough.
Listen, Nathan, I think we gave you guys enough coaches and players in the offseason. That's enough, that we've done. So
yeah, much appreciated, by the way.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is I think this is our first like in conference rival, right? Truck, who you'll meet here in a little bit, he's a diehard Bears fan. I'm from Chicago. I don't necessarily, I'm more loyal to my LSU Tigers.
For that gift too, by the way.
I'm excited to see how it turns out for you. I'm excited to talk about that with you and get into it as well. But thanks again for joining. Obviously, Commanders are a team that have a lot of moving parts. Shane, actually, despite his Cowboy fandom, when we were first talking about like what teams we want to get on around the draft, Shane was the one that was like Commanders. And then you get, as you mentioned, the quarterback of the LSU Tigers, Heisman winner, and you got his favorite, Ben Sinnott. Is it Sinnott or Sinnott, by the way?
Sinnott.
Yeah. Sinnott. Ben Sinnott from his, Kansas State. So funny, but thanks again. And very, very excited about getting into some Washington football.
Absolutely.
So we are a fantasy show. I want to talk a little bit about your background. Let's talk about your background of just like how the passion of the franchise came about. Let's go in that direction first.
Yeah, that's sure. I've been a Washington fan my whole life. And, it comes from my dad being a Washington fan, even though he was an upstate New York guy. He joined the Air Force, and then I'm an Air Force brat, lived all over, but Washington was always the team to cheer on. I'm only 39 years old, so I didn't really get to experience the heyday. I do remember my first memory of football is the Super Bowl against the Bills. So, I mean, that's pretty impactful in there. But I mean, I did spend my first 9 years of my life in the center of Oklahoma. So a lot of Cowboy fans out there, but it's been a journey as a Washington fan with the former owner. I don't like to say the name. Say the name, I owe Ref the District a dollar. So the former owner, just trashing it, the name change, the uniform change. There's just a lot going on, but I really feel at this point we're moving past all that, and you can see optimism that. Even though we've had optimism before, I mean, you go back to 2012 season with RG3 and how exciting that was. We thought we were going to turn the corner then, and it didn't happen. Ron Rivera, maybe not the most exciting coach, but was a respectable coach. Okay, we're going to do that. Scott McLuhan as hired a GM. We thought, okay, we finally have a GM. We're going to turn the corner. And so there's a lot of that redux here, right? Where new coach, Dan Quinn, maybe not the most exciting, but very well respected. You have the top GM candidate and Adam Peters comes to Washington. So that's exciting. And we keep saying, you know, hey, we finally have adults in the room. I mean, we've said it before, but this time it feels different. And now we have a QB again taken at 2 overall. That is probably, in my opinion, the most exciting player to come out of this 2024 draft. And before he was even drafted by Washington, I was saying that he has the potential to be the offensive rookie of the year. Yeah. He just has that in him. So exciting that that now potential is here in Washington.
Yeah, man. The formula for the NFL these days is like, you got to have that quarterback. You got to have the face of the franchise, that franchise quarterback. So Jaden Daniels is someone that I see that has the potential of being that guy. So you have the first 4 years of him on a rookie contract to try to build around him and make it happen. But he in my mind, he has the potential to be the guy that is signs the long-term deal and is, you know, constantly has Washington in the mix because of him, you know, and his talent. So it's an exciting place to be, man. And I'm excited to cheer along the way because he did a lot of special things last year for, you know, my LSU Tigers. But I agree with the former owner. I'm not going to say his name either. I agree with how you seem to be like through that and through all of that negative drama. Like for the longest time, that's when I think of Washington football, it's like, what's the story now of them? You know what I mean? It's just scandal, whether it's scandal or, as you mentioned, the name change, everything was just a dark cloud over it.
Yeah. Two seasons ago, we had a lot of people, a lot of guests come on for like game previews. And we wanted to know, like from the outside perspective, how did people see Washington? And it was because like we get so, you know, insulated within our own group that we think we're the only ones who have this kind of drama going on. And there's still a lot of drama happening this off season, but it's not the former guy's drama, right? It's not sexual assaults and harassments and scamming and all this kind of stuff. Well, I say no sexual assaults. And then we just had a kicker who got cut because of sexual assault, but you know, not in a workplace environment, right? Not like the entire organization, which it was under the former guy. But I mean, everybody has this kind of drama, but then everybody who we had on talked about how, Washington seems pretty dysfunctional, right? They don't seem like they're together. It seems like things are just always going to be the way that what we perceive teams like the Detroit Lions before their resurgence or the Cleveland Browns who are just perennial losers. And even though they've tried to come on lately, right? Like that Washington has 3 Super Bowls, 2 additional NFL championships, but they've been bad for 30 years. And so it's hard for anyone to remember any of those glory days, especially with Washington, you know, having distanced itself a lot from that history.
Yeah. I would say to me as well, like they had such an exciting, you know, the RG3 time, the Kirk Cousins, they had looking at all of the most successful head coaches currently came from at one time.
Yeah. 2013. I hate that graphic.
Yeah. I'd hate to bring that up, but like, look at everyone. To me, I would be proud of that. I mean, that's at least something that we can look back and be like, you know, that tree was here.
It would be better if they didn't go 4-12 that year or 3-13, I think is what we went in 2013. It was not a successful, you know, campaign for the Shanahan tree here outside of the 2012. And so I think that's why there's some resentment from Washington fans when we see that graphic, because we're like, yeah, we get it. These guys are successful now, but they were bad for us. And our leadership here, our front office, our head, our owner ran these guys out instead of hiring them. I mean, we could have had KOC as, you know, an offensive coordinator. Instead, we went with Ron Rivera's guy. Now he's a hot head coach out there in Minnesota who, even though they're going to run out JJ McCarthy, has a great shot at becoming, you know, the champs of the NFC North. And just because they're loaded. I mean, yeah. They have J.J. Jetta, man. I mean, that guy is by far the best wide receiver. Yeah, they got a good team out there.
It's they all that whole tree is just like has an exciting way of playing football. I think I like it so much because of what they're doing for the game right now. Like they're just elevating the standard across the board. Offensively is changing the game, but it's just young and new and fun to watch. I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned JJ McCarthy, and I think that's a good landing spot for him, A, because of the weapons, but B, because of the coach. Like he can be a lot of, oh, here comes truck.
What's going on?
In a truck as well. Yes. We were just talking about the coaching tree. Well, first of all, Nathan, this is the fantasy trucker you guys introduce.
But, Nathan, nice to meet you.
But nice we were just talking about the coaching tree that came from Washington in 2013, the Shanahan tree. And Nathan wasn't too happy when I brought that up because I guess, you know, Washington fans don't like to see the graphic. But yeah,
it's every year they pop up that graphic, usually in December when Washington's already long out of the playoff hunt. And so it's an extra little salt in the wound. I want to see a new graphic, right? I want Dan Quinn to be so successful and Adam Peters to be so successful that they have trees that then, you know, years from now, we're seeing pictures of coaches we have now who was like, hey, they were all on this Washington team. But that was a good Washington team, not a bad one like it was in 2013.
Yeah.
I get that.
Well, let's talk about fantasy football a little bit, your background there. We are a fantasy show, so before we get into kind of season preview, let's talk about like what your fantasy what your engagement is, and you know, what's your current portfolio, if you will, what does that look like, and just a little bit of background there.
Yeah, so I'm a longtime fantasy player. I've always preferred two things in fantasy. One being an auction draft. I feel like that's a lot better than a snake draft. And then two, I'm a huge fan of keeper. I haven't gotten completely into a dynasty where you get contracts and everything like that. We do a very simple version of it where whatever you paid for the person last year, you like add 10% and $5, right? So that way you still have a $200 budget in the current format that we use. But they just take a little bit more, and you can keep as many players from your last team as you want, but only one team won the championship, so you might not want to run it back, right? So you keep a few players, or you might be like my wife who joined us this last year, who paid, I think it was $75 for Travis Kelce. So it's just like, yeah, probably not going to keep that one. He's going to go back into the pool and have to go through it. But my love auction, like I said, I think it's better than snake. Allows for a lot of different play, you know, putting up a guy when it's your turn to throw up a guy, throw up a player you don't really you're not really interested in, and let somebody else overpay for that person, right? Because you're looking for somebody else. But if you get that person, you get them for like a dollar or something cheap. So I think there's a lot of fun that can be had with it. Now, back when I was Mr. Moneybags, which never actually Moneybags, I was a part of a keeper league. The auction was real money. It wasn't a $200 fake limit. It was whatever you had in your pocket that you're willing to spend. And things got pretty crazy. 1 year, the pot on a 12-league team got up to $3,500. I won that year. And I mention it not just because I want to gloat that I won, but I won that year having spent the least amount of money drafting my players. And that's been pretty much my MO when it comes to these auction leagues too. I feel like you don't need to spend money. Like you want a couple of the hot players, but you don't need to. Let other people spend their money and then kind of sneak in and grab a lot of good budget, just so that way, you know, if you do get a good team, which my team last year was okay, they just barely missed the playoffs, I can run it back with the same team having, or, you know, maybe a little few changes, but these players I got for cheap rather than spending $50 on a QB or a wide receiver when I have to flesh out an entire team.
Yeah, that is so interesting. That's, you know, in over 30 years of playing fantasy, I don't know about you, Coles, but this is the first league I've heard of where you use your own dollars as your budget and your acquisition dollars. I haven't played in a league where you use your own money.
It definitely favors those who are a little bit more well off in their life. But like I said, I was a 24-year-old at the time. I spent the least amount. I think I spent like $170. But I mean, I was playing against guys who had been like, they're at the end of their career. They have no family either. So like they had a lot of disposable income. I mean,
they just want to beef up their team and talk shit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, they thought, oh, this is because, I mean, and I guess in some way, right, if you're going to win the money, right, you can spend more money because it makes it more likely you're going to win it, right, at least theoretically. And it didn't work out for them. I won. I actually beat my friend. And so I won 50% of that pot. My friend at second place, he won 30% of the pot. But then he also happened to be the season point leader. So he won the last 20%. So we actually split that $3,500 pot 50-50. And still to this day, he argues with me that he had the better team. But I lorded over him. I said, I won the championship. So, I mean, you weren't the better team. I am the one with the trophy.
Yeah.
So back down now.
That debate is just an age-old debate in fantasy. You're going to hear it in every league. Some people believe in total points. Some people believe in the championship. That debate will be going on forever, right? Shane, have you ever done an auction league?
Yeah, I've done auction leagues. I just have not done it with your own money expending.
I love auction. I think it's if it was the standard, I would be very happy about that. I prefer it. It's way more strategy. The draft is 10 times more fun. I do truly like it. I've only done one draft ever, but it was very successful. I know Truck, we've had this conversation. Truck, it does not like auction.
Well, I wouldn't say I don't like auctions. I tend to go with the snake, but what I do like about auction is there's a lot of times in the snake draft, if you're on one side of the board, there's going to be a huge pocket of players that you're not even going to have an opportunity to draft. Trading in a typical redraft league you just don't do it. It's more of a dynasty thing. So that's what I like about auction. You kind of have the whole player pool at your disposal, and you can kind of, figure out how to dispense those funds. It's very, very creative. It's a very cool concept, and we should do it more. We should actually get a listener league with an auction draft sometime soon this season.
It's also a very active draft, right? Because like you said, when you're in a snake draft, if you're sitting at 1 or 10 or 12, like there's a big gap that you're waiting for people to pick their players that you're doing nothing. In an auction draft, the only time you're doing nothing is if there's a player up there, Dak Prescott, and you're like, I want nothing to do with Dak Prescott, so I can just kind of,
right out. That's one of my favorite things about the auction draft too, is the nomination. Uh-oh, Shane. Uh-oh, you got posters full.
I was talking back about Dak Prescott and then posters full.
Holy shit. That is incredible.
My son just brought that home to me literally today as a present. Like, hey, I saw this at the store, and so you can use it at your back chops. So I just taped it up today for the show, and it was like a Dak voodoo doll. Like,
so Shane O'Mac brought some fucking scotch tape out and decided to try that. See if that was an awesome moment. I love that.
Anyway, about auction drafts, the cool thing that nominating players, right? So you have an opportunity to nominate a player, and if you're smart, you want to nominate players you don't want, get them out of the way, get people to spend their money. So that's such a cool little twist to it that I didn't know prior to an auction draft. So it was pretty cool.
One of my favorite things to do. I absolutely do that. Before I think you came on, Truck, I mentioned that, right? I love that strategy because I see so many people, they put up a guy that they want, and then they're starting to bid against people. And next thing they know, they're spending $37 on a running back. You only have a $200 limit in most of these leagues, and you're just wasted a lot of your budget on one player And not honestly, I'm, and this is maybe a little spoiler alert for later, I'm not huge on running backs anymore. Like, they're just not where there's a lot of value to me in a lot of the leagues as people transition to PPR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think I love that for the same reason Truck just mentioned. Like, I'll take someone like last year, for example, Austin Eckler. He was drafted in the top six picks, definitely a mid first rounder. And he was someone who I just wasn't going to touch. So I would put him out there first, drain someone else's bank account, get a bit off going, drain someone else's bank account so that, you know, when someone else that I do like comes along, someone else is hurting. You know, it's just so fun. There's so much strategy involved.
One more tidbit and strategy for those who might not be familiar, because I love convincing people to play auction when it comes to fantasy, is don't overpay for a QB. That's probably one of the biggest rookie mistakes I see in an auction draft, is people pay big money for a QB, $55 for Aaron Rodgers in the my previous league, and he gets out there and he gets injured the first time. Now, I mean, the person did pay, I think it was $25 for Lamar Jackson. So, like, they at least had a backup. I mean, that's a lot of money put into two players.
Yeah.
But usually
your budget.
Yeah. And what you, with QBs, there's 32 QBs. There's probably about 10 to 15 that are actually worth it. And most of these, like Dak Prescott, it's going for like $1 to $3. Guy had an amazing season that you just got for $1 to $3, right? Like, you don't need to overpay for a QB. You know, let somebody else do that and wait. So that's probably the biggest thing I see with people who are new to an auction draft, because, you know, QB is valuable. They're one of your best point getters. But to be honest, like, the difference between your sixth best QB and your 10th best QB is not great enough to be spending an extra $10 to $15 of your budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and the then, same as you mentioned with running backs, like a bunch of dart throws at the end of the draft, you can get a bunch of RB, you know, not necessarily. And the NFL is in general, we're going to be talking about the Commanders with Robinson and Eckler, is just moving in that tandem type backfield. So you can throw a bunch of darts. Maybe someone gets injured and one of your darts turns out to be an RB1 for a team, you know.
I couldn't believe the amount of players that were available at the end of the draft for a dollar. It's like, I'm like, wait, I could have got him for a dollar. What am I doing?
So. Truck, I do want to say, you look a lot more tan. I think Chicago's, the sun's coming out, and it's maybe summer or what?
Yes. Yeah. Very well, good. We recorded a best ball draft when we were outside, so I was getting a lot of sun that day.
Awesome. So let's talk Commanders, new quarterback. Let's hear about the excitement around the organization, around the fan base. I'm guessing it's almost all optimism there.
I wish it were. I really did. So you, Shane mentioned, we had this, it was the March Madness QB edition that we did on Ref the District. So we took the top eight quarterbacks not named Caleb Williams, because he was clear 1-1, right? Mm-hmm. So Washington's picking at 2. They can trade back and have this. So we wanted to take a look at the QBs available that were after Caleb Williams, and we just kind of matched them off. And when we did this, it became very clear we had some camps going on. So you had the Jaden Daniels crew, the Danny Boys, the Dannies, or, you know, after like the Swifties and whatnot. You had the Maniacs. The Drake May guys were out in force, and they hate Jaden Daniels. And so there was definitely some tribalism going on, and that wasn't good. And there's still some of that, right? There's still some fans, unfortunately. And I don't necessarily want to call them that either, because if Washington is your team, you should never wish anyone on your team poorly, right? You don't want to wish them ill, no injury. You don't want to, you know, do any of that. And so now should be the time for optimism, but we still have some people who are, you know, resent that Jaden Daniels was the pick. Full disclosure, JJ McCarthy was my guy. But I was good with any of the three. Jaden Daniels, one of the most exciting players in the draft, if not the most, an offensive rookie of the year type guy. He has a, in this draft specifically, but also in the NFL, he has almost a one of one running type ability. A lot of people want to liken him to Lamar Jackson. They're not the same. I would say Lamar Jackson has a lot more elusiveness, and Jaden Daniels has straight line speed. If he can cut the corner, much like RG3 did in 2012, he's just gone. Recent video going around social media right now was one of his LSU runs, and I want to say it was against Florida, but I might be wrong. The guy got up to like 22 miles per hour. I mean, he was cooking. That poor defender was just trailing him, running his tail off, and couldn't get anywhere close to Jaden Daniels, even as Jaden Daniels changed direction. Like, just the guy has some elite speed, and that's going to be very exciting to see, especially under Cliff Kingsbury, who's known for using that running ability from his QBs, Kyler Murray, Johnny Manziel, and the list can go on and on.
Yeah, I love Jaden Daniels. I think he needs to be a lot smarter in the pro game with taking hits, especially. But one thing that I always say about, like, he's basically exactly what Steichen is looking for in his offense. Like, I don't think Anthony Richardson has the arm, but like what he did with Jalen Hurts, that style of quarterback, like he would be Steichen's wet dream. His ability to throw the ball is as good as any. Yeah, and that's what separates him, right? Like, Hurts never had over a 50% completion percentage against Alabama, or I guess he was at Alabama, against LSU in his career at Alabama and at Oklahoma. Anthony Richardson is just not known for his accuracy and precision. Like, Daniels has all of that, but the ability, as you just mentioned, to beat you with his legs. So, super exciting prospect. I mean, he's got all of the tools. It's now like, can we put it together? Can we get confidence? Can we build momentum at the next level? And that, you know, it's the speed thing, and how do we like stay composed? That's the only thing that changes in the NFL. Obviously, defenses get more complex, but the speed is the one thing that we're going to see, you know. I'm sure he's going to be one of those guys that during training camp, you see all these videos and people are going to, all these mouth-watering videos.
That's what I say. We're already salivating over here. It took was one video of him throwing a pretty hot to Luke McCaffrey during rookie minicamp. And everybody was like, yep, we're done. The Super Bowl bound. We got to book your tickets now.
Or throwing in the rain into the net. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Running back room, I would say, is something that everyone's just wondering, like, what is Eckler currently at this point in his career? What is the target share going to look like? So give me your perspective, and then also, like, what you've seen and heard so far through OTAs. What is this Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler backfield going to look like?
It's going to be very interesting this year, right? Because this is a whole new offense. We just left the Eric Bieniemy, pass the ball or drop back 55 times. So Brian Robinson, if you were big on him last year, thinking that he was going to have a breakout year, and it was just a disaster under Eric Bieniemy, this year I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And I mean, partially because Brian Robinson, even in limited touches, was productive, and he also showed that he can be a pass catching back. You know, it's not something he was known for coming out of college. So there's some talent there that can be unlocked. We are now going into, a Cliff Kingsbury led offense. A lot of people want to say that that's an air raid offense. Kingsbury's come out and said, we're not an air raid offense. We're going to tailor it. And I believe him, especially if you look at the rest of the staff Washington has brought into here. Anthony Lynn is the run game coordinator. You have Brian Johnson, who is a part of the offensive staff. They are trying to, if I think they've come out and say it, but even if they haven't actually come out and say it, you can read between the lines. They want this team this year to be a team that runs the ball well and plays strong defense. They do not want to put everything into Jaden Daniels' hands because we don't know what we have. We're excited for what we have there, but you do, that transition from college to the NFL is a difficult one. So take the ball out of his hands as often as you can. So I would expect the Washington running backs to be very productive based off of that. Not to mention, if you look at Cliff Kingsbury's offense in Arizona, the running backs feasted. They had two good years there where they did very well. So even though, you know, he's known as a passing game coordinator and, you know, an air raid, you know, guy, he really has a strong running game. And then to add to that, you know, look at Baltimore, a strong running game there, or you can look at the Eagles. When you have a running quarterback, your running backs tend to do better as well, because now when you're talking about an RPO, when you're talking about, you know, play action, everything, they don't know who to cover, because, you know, it's not as simple as, you know, trying to take down a, you know, a Kirk Cousins who, you know, is not going to scramble for 10 to 15 yards, right? You have so many guys to take care of, and they're, your running backs are going to catch, you know, those linebackers off guard, because the linebacker might be going for Jaden Daniels to close off the edge. And now all of a sudden you have a Brian Robinson who's able to cut into the center and pick up some big yards. I know a lot of people might be concerned about Austin Ekeler, where he's going to fit into the offense, and is he going to take from Brian Robinson? Brian Robinson, make no doubt about it, is your RB1 in Washington. Ekeler is going to be your seasoned, versatile back. We're going to see them both on the field at times, but if you're taking one of the running backs from Washington, take B-Rob.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned it. I think it was in 2020, and then in 2021 with Kingsbury, he had, I think it was Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds, and then the following year, I think it was Connor and mm-hmm. Chase Edmonds. He had two top 30 fantasy running backs both of those years. I'm most interested in, I wanted to get your opinion with Anthony Lynn there also as the running backs coach. You know, Eckler's fantasy cheat code's kind of been his receiving capability. How do you see that playing out with a running quarterback in Jaden Daniels? Do you think that maybe is goes down kind of from what he's seen in the past, or you think they will make a concerted effort given that's Eckler's strong skill set to still make that a big part of the game?
Yeah, the coaching staff talks about how they want to use people's strengths, so I'd still expect it to be a small part, but I do think that, especially given Eckler's age and usage so far in the league, that he's going to see a significant drop. I still see some opportunities for him out of the backfield or, you know, lining up in the slot. Washington's wide receivers right now, you know, are one of the things Adam Peters talked about being very good. But if you actually look at them, you've got Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, and then what, Zaccheaus? Like, I mean, what are we doing here? Jamison Crowder at 32 years old? Like, there's not a solid threat. You know, people are excited about Luke McCaffrey, a guy who was drafted at 100. And that's putting a lot of hope on a guy who's drafted at that spot. And so I think Eckler is going to find himself in, you know, kind of that, you know, de facto wide receiver 4 or 5 position, because there's just not a whole lot of love here in Washington. Well, for me anyways, with those wide receivers. So I think he's going to catch that amount, you know, obviously not putting him in the wide receiver role, but he's going to catch the 5th, probably most passes from Jaden Daniels. So fairly significant, but not really enough to secure a spot on most fantasy rosters.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about Dotson, actually. I think he's going to have a big bounce back year. He's one of my most targeted players early on in these drafts. His ADP, it's baked in that he had a bad year, and people are almost saying, like, year one was a flash in the pan, year two, that was his true colors, and that's what we can expect from him, at least in the fantasy world. That's what I'm
speaking. Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I mean, if you actually look at some of the percentage style, the rates and whatnot, he was doing the same rate as he was his rookie year. I think the biggest thing was his rookie year, he was phenomenal in the red zone and catching touchdowns. And that's one of the things I'll go back to Eckler about. Eckler is a touchdown machine, but that's very volatile. So, you know, if he takes, you know, 5 to 10 less touchdowns, Eckler is going to be a complete wash for you. The other hand, Jahan Dotson is a guy who we thought was going to have an amazing sophomore season. He didn't. He slumped very, very hard, which is surprising given how much they dropped back in Washington. And then you see some stats around him and the lack of separation. This is a wide receiver known for his ability to run routes, and yet he wasn't getting open. And so we're going to find out how much of that was Jahan Dotson and how much of that was Eric Bieniemy. And the hope in Washington is that through Cliff Kingsbury, through, you know, the run game with Anthony Lynn and Brian Johnson kind of helping out with the offense as well, is that we're going to see the Jahan Dotson we did in his rookie year, where he was making people look silly and finding himself open.
Yeah, I mean, the touchdowns that you mentioned from season one, like, that gives me hope of that's a skill that quarterbacks love, because as soon as you gain that chemistry and grow that trust in the red zone, that's where quarterbacks live and die, right? Red zone, punching the ball in. So once you gain that trust, that chemistry, that's a quarterback's best friend. So I think the ability for him to find space and then put the ball in the end zone, that gives the skill that takes is going to come back out with a fresh quarterback that has a ton of talent and is going to be looking for people to be productive in his offense. And Dotson is that talent for me. McLaurin's going to, I think, have his best year. He always quietly puts up 1,000. Truck's always been a McLaurin guy. He's an Ohio State guy as well. I've never been on McLaurin. This is the year in fantasy. I've never been a McLaurin guy. And this is the year that, again, I'm targeting both of those Commanders wide receivers, because, you know, McLaurin's going to get his. This is the best quarterback they've had. And Daniels has the ability to light the league on fire. Just, he has that skill set. Truck, why don't you talk about McLaurin a little bit?
Yeah, I've always liked what I saw from McLaurin. He's one of those elite wide receivers, in my opinion, that is just so good at getting open, and he's so trustworthy for quarterbacks that I think him and Daniels, I can just see it now having a great connection. And I going into this draft season, I want as much McLaurin as I can get, and Dotson is so cheap value-wise, where it's like, why not take a chance on him? The other wide receivers in that range are much more risky than he is, so I like where the Commanders are at going into the season. You know, aside from the running back room, I'm kind of staying away from. But give me all the Dotson and McLaurin and even Jaden Daniels. I think they have tremendous upside on this season.
Yeah, McLaurin's going at a 53.4 ADP on Underdog right now. So he's a fifth rounder. We've been pretty active in some drafts here. We just kind of started doing daily drafts that we're streaming, and we've been getting McLaurin in the fifth round. Just
if you can catch him as your wide receiver two, or if you're lucky enough, your wide receiver three, you're going to be very, very happy. Yeah. I've been predicting Terry McLaurin breakout season since his rookie year, and they just don't come. And a lot of that's the instability at the QB position. And I do want to throw up some red flags for people here. You know, it's very rare a QB in the NFL plays all 17 games, right? And so if Jaden Daniels misses any time, knock on wood, you know, whatever you have to do to make that not happen, Marcus Mariota is QB2. And that is about as bad as you can think for Terry McLaurin. So I think he's going to get his 1,000, but as much as we want him to have one of those Amon St. Brown breakout seasons where, you know, he gets 1,500 yards, I think he topped out about 1,250, and he's never been known for catching touchdowns. So you're talking about 7 touchdowns. So draft him where you feel that is valuable, right? If that's his peak, you know, fifth round, I think is good.
Yeah. Fifth round is great, right? Yeah. That's why I like him, is because I can count on him to have 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns. And I think it could be, you know, as you mentioned, 1,250 and 7. So if he's 1,250 and 7, I'm you'd be ecstatic in the fifth round, right?
Yeah.
And this is, you know, the most stable. You know, you mentioned the quarterback, but not only the quarterback, the organization has been, right? So, you know, with the talent of Daniels and then hopefully a culture of just like, we are going to work our asses off and start to win games. And that kind of just that attitude is contagious, right? So mm-hmm. that these wide receiver ones, these ego driven wide receivers, once they get a taste of that, they're like, all right, it's go time. And you see that next level unlocked. Look at CeeDee Lamb last year. Perfect example. Not that it ended too well for you there, Shane. Now did it, huh?
If you're from a fantasy perspective, it's great.
I wanted to dig you a little bit on the Packers playoff game.
We don't talk about Cowboys playoff games. I want to talk to you because, you know, my own personal exposure to it as a K-State alumni. I've watched every single game Ben Sinnott has played throughout his career. I just want to get a little bit of your thoughts on him and what you guys see from his skill set. And is this a thing of, you know, it's going to probably be until Zach Ertz gets hurt, or does Kingsbury run enough two tight end offenses to he can still have some value while Ertz is on the field?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this is going to play out, because Adam Peters talks about Ben Sinnott, like a couple guys he had out in San Francisco, and says that he's a mix of those two and Kittle and Jews, right? And so I think that, in my opinion, he's probably closer to Juice than he is to Kittle. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's an exciting player. He's definitely more of an H-back than a true tight end. But he plays the style that Dan Quinn is looking for. And that's just physical, aggressive, and fast. Washington had one of the highest like next-gen stat draft scores, and they had the highest based on RAS, the relative athletic score, and Ben Sinnott was one of those. Just doing the things that you want your tight end to do. Tight ends, though, take some time usually to transition. They're not all going to be the kid out of Detroit. You know, they're not all Iowa tight ends, but Ben Sinnott is going to be an exciting player to see where he lines up and how they're able to use him. But I would not take him this season, right? Maybe pick him up on the waiver wire if he has a good day type deal. But I think that as a fan, I'm excited for what he brings. And we did a video breaking him down. We said we wouldn't draft him, but that's because there's just so many needs on Washington's roster. But we were really high on Ben Sinnott. So to see him actually drafted was pretty great. A little egg on our face for saying we wouldn't draft him. But Adam Peters knows more football than we do. And this is a guy who I think will be successful. But as a rookie behind Zach Ertz, I mean, tight ends anyways, I personally, on the fantasy side, I try to convince every league I'm in to get rid of the tight end position entirely and just have either skill positions or do running back and wide receiver slash tight ends, because there's just not enough value in tight ends. Some people like that because then it actually puts a premium on trying to get one of the two or three tight ends who play like wide receivers. But in my opinion, it's just not worth having that extra thing. And if you're in a tight end, an actual tight end league, I mean, you're talking your average tight end or even some of your end of the top 10 guys, you're getting what, 500 yards out of them. And that's just not enough. There's not value there. And Ben Sinnott's going to be underneath that. He's probably going to be in like the 350 yard range. Touchdowns, you know, again, I mentioned how volatile those are. So you might have three, you might have 10. He might be like the touchdown guy. But my guess is this is a weight on Ben Sinnott fantasy wise.
You were saying your boy was the radical. That seems pretty radical, doing away with tight ends. And
yeah, I mentioned, yeah, he wants to get rid of all these matchups, right? He hates his opinion. He's like, what is the matchup, right? If I'm going up against Shane this week in fantasy, we don't have anything to do about each other's lineup or how it matches up. It's literally just I set my best lineup, he sets his best lineup, and then whoever's best lineup wins gets the W. And to my buddy, that doesn't make sense. To me, I try to explain it adds a little bit of competitiveness to it, but he doesn't buy into that. As far as the lack of a true tight end position, like I said, I would just do straight skill positions. Let somebody fill out your team. Look at what offensive coordinators are doing, right? There's people who run 21 personnel. There's people who run 12 personnel. You can switch it up however you want it. If you don't want to run any running backs out there, how many times have we seen an empty backfield, right? You should be able to do that as the coach, the manager of your team. Is if you don't want to throw any running backs out there who are consistent point getters, then you should be able to do that, right? If you want to line up two running backs or maybe just one running back and four wide receivers, throw out a tight end there because you think that tight end's going to have a good day, you should have the freedom to do that as your game manager. So that's, is it a bit radical? Yes.
Yes.
Do most leagues not even have an option for it? Yeah, they don't, right? Because it's just so far out there.
I love where your head's at. Next fantasy league from the Fantasy Roadshow, one quarterback, 10 flex spots, call it a day.
There you go.
No.
I'm on board.
You need a special teams, right? You need that. Well, I mean, if you're an IDP league, that's a whole nother thing there. Yeah. So, but yeah, you got to be able to. I feel like I like the flexibility of that. And that sucks for me because I'm a tight end guy. I love tight ends on the field. But I mean, in fantasy, I just think that they're just, if you don't get one of the top guys, then this is a difference between the fourth best tight end and the 12th best tight end is maybe 50 yards. Like it's just not enough to worry about that as a position.
Real quick before we get off Ben Sinnott, I feel like the NFL, the fans and the fantasy football players are all jaded or all have these false expectations because of what we saw from McBride, Laporta, Kincaid. Now we see Ben Sinnott, and this is a very common name where everyone's like, I'm going to get this rookie tight end and maybe get some production like it was last year. And from what I'm hearing from you, it's like, hey, lower expectations. You know, typically these rookie tight ends are right around that 300 to 500 range. So I appreciate you saying that.
Mayers, right? Mayers was drafted right after Laporta, and he did nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's more what people should expect because, you know, a lot of those that you listed, right, they're just – that those are the anomalies. I will go out on a limb, though, and say that Ben Sinnott will have a better rookie season than Brock Bowers. How's that? If you want something that's a bold take.
That is spicy.
Ben Sinnott will have a better rookie season than Brock Bowers.
So that's so bold because you just mentioned Sinnott's, how Sinnott's going to have less than 350 yards. Okay. Wow. I love it.
I like it.
So a big part of fantasy football, as you know, is talking shit. And I feel like you did quite a bit of that on this episode. So are you going to be, I have a feeling you're sending this to a couple of leagues you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll definitely make sure people are aware, where my headspace is. Now, I might not send it to the entire league that I'm in because I just talked about some of my strategy and waved people off QBs and everything. I want them to do those things. So like there's some mixed signals I got to send here for them because I love it when I watch, you know, somebody take, you know, CeeDee Lamb, you know, and pay $45 for CeeDee Lamb. I'm an OU guy. I'm literally in Oklahoma right now. And I love CeeDee Lamb, but paying that much for one wide receiver, the only wide receiver that is worth in a draft or an auction league that's worth more than $35 is Jefferson. And this year I wouldn't spend that on him because we don't know what J.J. McCarthy is going to do. Yeah. If J.J. McCarthy is the second coming of Kirk Cousins, then great. If he is,
it might not even be JJ. It might be Sam Darnold.
Yeah, like this.
How about this? How about this? Before your draft, we'll have you back on, and we'll have you give just these takes of like these are my favorite guys, and those will be all the guys that you're fading. And Truck is really good at cutting out shorts, so we'll cut a short of just Nathan's Nathan from Ref the District's players to, you know, players, my guys, your favorite players, and then we'll cut it. And that one.
There you go. Yeah. Half the league is aware of my tactic of throwing up guys I don't like. Like I will absolutely. They know it now, especially because like the third, my third time I'm up, I'm like throwing out kickers and defense just because I know people are just going to bid on it. Right. Like they're like, oh yeah, Baltimore defense, they're going to be great. So yeah, I'll pay $5-$10, like perfect. So now when there's a guy who comes around, that's $5 to $10 less that I have to spend on them because they don't have it when it comes to that player. So
I love it. Well, I'm good. I think we learned a lot about kind of where the fan base, what I hear is a lot of optimism about, like, we are an organization that are doing the right things and headed in the right direction. And that is, as a fan of the NFL as a whole, that is just so great to hear. Cause as we talked about earlier, that's not been the case for the last, you know, 5-10 years, whatever it's been. But, to hear that optimism, in your voice, in the fan base, it makes me excited for, you know, Jaden Daniels, Ben Sinnott, these young guys coming in, with the ability to kind of feed off of that new culture and hopefully string together some wins for you guys this year.
Fingers crossed, at least yeah. Two of them against that man's team.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks a ton for coming on. Thanks. I appreciate you coming on. And then also I'm going to hear from Truck later, who's going to be like, man, Nathan's really onto something about that 10 flex league. Yeah. That's going to be a whole conversation for you guys to debate.
100%.
It's going to be a whole conversation for later. He's going to come to me with this, just like, you know, like Charlie from It's Always Sunny with just all the different, like, I have an idea now of just this, you know,
big brain move. It's a big brain move.
So, hey, man, I really appreciate you coming on. I had a great time. We'd love to have you on again. You know, we mentioned kicking around the potential idea. We'll tease this now of doing like a content creator league, fantasy league throughout the NFL with some of the connections we've made. You'd be a great addition to that. So
as long as it's got those 10 flex spots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can't promise you that the settings, the scoring settings or format yet, but yeah, man, appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Truck, do you want to sign us out?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm choppy at all. My internet has not been the best. It's getting kind of stormy over here in Chicago. So Shane, I'm going to kick it over to you. Why don't you go ahead and sign us out, Shane?
All right. Well, thanks again to one of the hosts of Ref the District. Nathan, make sure to follow their show and their content at Ref the District on all social platforms. And all the roadies out there, you know what to do now. Buckle up.